Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Dr. Brenda Shoshana is a psychologist in practice for over 25 years, a relationship expert, award-winning author and speaker. She's offered more than 500 talks and workshops on all aspects of personal and spiritual development, building uplifting relationships, and ways of developing authentic peace of mind. Joining us on the line from the Enlightened Living Institute, Dr. Brenda Shoshana joins us. Brenda, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
As you work with individuals, you're speaking with groups, you're working with clients, as we're sitting here together in mid-2010, I wanted to get a sense of the zeitgeist out there. What are people's fears about right now?
Well, I think right now, unfortunately, the fear is deep. You know, there's tremendous fear of economic difficulties, losing one's job, and terrible fears about how they're going to proceed, how they're going to be secure, what's happening with the government, what's happening even in relationships, because people have become very defensive now and kind of retracted in many ways.
Defensive and detracted in their interpersonal relationships, business, or all of the above?
I think in all of the above. I think there's a feeling when one doesn't feel secure, one kind of pulls back a bit and tries to go backwards or not to reach out as much, not to take as many chances. There's a desire to reestablish one's equilibrium and balance. And so it's instead of kind of going forward and reaching out and trying new things, the opposite seems to be going on right now.
Well, and you know our audience is comprised mostly of small business people, entrepreneurs and the like. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they're faced with the challenge of getting up in the morning and doing this brave thing called small business. And you've written a book around this whole idea of fearless. When you talk about moving towards a fearless approach to life, what does that look like?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that being fearless doesn't mean never feeling fear. Mm-hmm. People say that and they say, well, it's important to feel fear so I know what to do and I know how to protect myself. But I want to make an important distinction between feeling fear that's appropriate and handling it in a constructive way, and that's great, and the kind of fear that overtakes us, that becomes a part of our being. It creates catastrophic expectations. It creates a sense of hopelessness and weakness. You know, actually, fear is a toxin. And when it invades our life, it prevents us from seeing things clearly and making appropriate choices.
I'm sorry, please continue.
No. I was just going to say, so the work is really about ways of letting go of that kind of fear so that we can be present and available to whatever is needed in the moment.
The distinction, fear is a real feeling we should have. It's okay to have it. Is there a constructive way to use fear?
The basic thing to do, I wouldn't say to use fear. I would say if we learn how to release fear from our lives, and because most fear just digs in, it comes from the unconscious, it really paralyzes us. So a lot of the work in the book is teaching people how to let go of that feeling of fear. And the more you release and let go of the feeling of fear, then when there's a natural cause for fear, when you need to be alerted or you need to be vigilant, you'll just know. Your body will know. You'll know viscerally, and you'll be able to take appropriate action. But the more you release the actual emotion, the energy, the feeling of fear, the safer you'll become.
Another of the themes that you work around, I know, is around the idea of Zen. What came to mind and popped out for me as I was prepping for this conversation was the Zen miracles. Tell us about this. What is a Zen miracle?
That's one of my earlier books. Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up. A Zen miracle is getting up in the morning, opening your eyes, breathing, putting on your clothes. You know, we look for miracles, and there's a popular phrase, I want it all, give it all to me. And from the Zen miracle point of view, we already have it all, but we're just not aware of it. We're not aware of the endless miracles and opportunities and possibilities that exist moment by moment. So in the Zen literature, it says, carrying water and chopping wood, what a wonderful miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Just being alive, it's such a miracle. I mean, we really don't know how we got here. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's causing the beautiful day to come or the leaves to bloom. So from a Zen miracle point of view, we just really appreciate that, are present to it, honor that, And then the harmony, the larger force of life, will bring to us what we need and guide us in the right path.
Well, what a wonderful light to shine on those of us who get up, might tend to get up and already be thinking about the tactical chain of events that need to happen in order to equal some sort of goal that we've set for ourselves in business.
Right, you know, that's right. And, you know, I guess it's very important to have an intention and a goal, but it can strangle you because you may not be aware of that all the things you're really looking for are right in front of your eyes, but just coming in a way that you might not be expecting.
Do you have clients that are very, very driven? They're entrepreneurs, and you know our audience is mostly entrepreneurs. They're driven in what they do. How do you prescribe that they balance this awareness, the ability to see the miracle in every moment, and yet still find satisfaction in the achievement of growing a business?
Well, that's such a beautiful question, because I'm also growing businesses, you know, and I love to grow businesses. And I think it's like having a baby. It's like giving birth and watching or planting plants in the garden and watching them grow. But the thing is, it's wonderful to have the intention. It's important. But you have to be aware that there is a larger energy, a larger force that guides the ways of men, that guides the ways of success, that guides the way of everything. And so when we become more present and less, not less driven, but less thinking that it's all because of our personal will that things happen, then we can relax more, we can be more open, and usually much more successful as well. Because when we're too driven, too tense, too tight, when we feel our personal success is at stake, then we can really make a lot of mistakes and not see many beautiful things that are right there to help and support us.
Which is interesting. It kind of circles back to fear. Doesn't fear kind of kick in at that point?
Yeah.
Or it can, I suppose.
Well, it does. And, you know, and so there's a wonderful way to work without making it all about ego. You know, many, many people feel, well, if I fail, I'm a failure. If I make a mistake, I'm worthless. I failed. I'm nothing. But we have to really understand that it's completely natural to make a mistake. It doesn't mean you're a failure. I mean, and if you have a great success, that's lovely, but when you become too attached to success and failure, then we really live a life of fear.
We're here together with Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's the founder of the Enlightened Living Institute. The website is www.drshoshana.com. SHOSHANNA.com. And of course, those of you listening on iTunes can go over to smallbizamerica.com and look for Dr. Brenda Shoshana. It'll be posted there. That's a lot of spelling to do for a URL if you're driving.
And you know, a very good, an easier one is just www.becomefearless.org. That's the basic one that I'm using.
Oh, becomefearless.org. All right.
Yeah,
so,
very simple.
And is Fearless the latest of your books?
Yes, it is the latest, and it combines the seven principles of peace of mind, the seven principles. And these principles are eternal, universal principles that apply to all people in all ages. It really shows you how to move through your life, but with a sense of steadiness, with a sense of purpose, but also with what I hope to call authentic peace of mind.
Mm.
Can I say one thing in terms of the businessmen, too? When we're too focused on the outcome of our efforts, that causes huge stress and fear.
Mm.
So the best way to succeed is to do something 100% fully with your full heart and mind and let the results happen as they may.
In other words, really be present with the process.
Exactly. And take pleasure out of the process.
Mm.
And take a sense of fulfillment out of the doing and out of the giving. And what comes back is almost not your business. If you do your very best, then it's up to the universe to do what it does too.
I love that. I love the surrender in that idea. You know, and we also, in small business or in life, I mean, living creatively, I had a conversation, we did a segment a couple of days back, and the subject of courage and creativity came to light during the conversation. Do you have any insights about the creative process and being present and sort of that theme?
Well, yes, because, you know, these principles of peace of mind, they really open up our creativity. Because basically, ultimately, all of us every single one have endless, endless inner resources and are very creative. And the only thing that stops us is our fear. And we feel we have to receive approval from everyone. We have to do the tried and true way. We're afraid of sticking our neck out and trying something that might be goofy, that might be unaccepted, that's something new and different. Well, creativity comes from doing that and allowing yourself just to play, to be interested, to be curious, and not to be so addicted to the need for the approval of others.
Mm.
Now, that's an addiction, and I deal with it a lot in the book, ways of letting go of that craving for the constant approval, which never brings satisfaction anyway.
Yes, it's an unsatiable appetite, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. And the more you get, the more you want. It may feel good for a little while, and then more. But when you get pleasure and a sense of well-being from just giving yourself 100% to whatever it is that you're really doing, then that really is much more fulfilling than this endless craving for approval from others.
I wanted to spend some time, spotlight the work you do around the practice of meditation. Of course, all of this might point to being in the moment and achieving a level of presence that is sometimes difficult in a complex modern world.
Mm-hmm.
In someone's life and in their professional endeavors, how is the practice of meditation completely transformational, and how do you use it in the work you do?
Well, yeah, I've been practicing Zen practice for about 38 years. And I don't know how I'd even be here without it, frankly. I mean, it's really, really, really given me my life in so many ways. So it has been tremendously transformational. I sit. That's called, we do call Zazen sitting. And in doing so, you simply return to the heart of who you are over and over and over again. And it does help so much to be present and to learn how to let go. Things float up as you're sitting, and you get to see how things come and go, and that everything doesn't have the importance that we normally give to it. We just allow life to come as it comes and to go as it goes. We become so much more able to enjoy change. You know, that's another big cause of fear is change. People think that change means loss or that change means failure. But when you're meditating a lot, you kind of become so aware of the larger flow of life that change becomes very interesting and wonderful to behold. And it's not something that you're fighting off and that you're so afraid of.
Just in terms of the approach to meditation, do you recommend for someone who wants to get familiar with the idea of sitting, what's your prescription for them to dive in?
Well, I would say, you know, you can read in many, many books a little description how to actually start to sit and practice. But then I would say it's really, really beneficial and almost essential to find a group, a Zen center. There are endless numbers of them all over the country so that you can have instruction with a teacher and that you can sit with others. You know, it's really necessary and very, very supportive to practice to have some others to sit with. It keeps you going and you share a lot of strength and energy and you balance each other. And if you do a deeper practice and get more committed, especially then as well, it's really supportive and important to have others to sit with. So I would say you could read instructions in a book and start on your own and practice a little bit, but I would ultimately recommend that you find a center that you feel good at. They're all different kinds, and believe me, there are so many different energies at the different centers. Find one that you feel comfortable at and go.
Dr. Brenda, you're doing a lot of workshops, talks, speaking. I imagine you have one-on-one sessions with clients. Tell us about the scope of work you're doing.
Well, I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of speaking. I do workshops, as you said. I do see individual patients. This has been my life for many years. It's like chopping wood and carrying water, and I love it. I feel good because I feel that everybody who comes to me is my teacher and teaching me how to grow more and give more and love more, and I'm grateful for that. I just started a new workshop program, which I particularly am loving. It's called the Disowned Self, Welcoming Him or Her Back Home. And people are really loving that one. I mean, that's really about the courage to be who you are and finding those parts of ourselves that we've really rejected and pushed away and getting in touch with them and integrating them into our lives. And when you speak about the creativity and the joy in life, that usually is locked up with our disowned self. So it's pretty simple to welcome him or her back home, and it's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying these a lot because it's a lot of fun. It's like seeing all, people's eyes just sparkling and just being in touch with all that's possible for them.
Oh, I love the idea of that. I can see it as you describe it. Now, you're located in the New York area, of course.
I'm in Manhattan, right?
You're in Manhattan. So are you doing any work that, you know, with the telephone bridges and so forth so that folks can tap into you? Understand we have an international audience.
Well, you know, I am beginning to get all the technology set up so I can do this online with the Skype and with the online webinars, because there are so many people who cannot get to Manhattan. So I will be doing that. I certainly will be offering that. We're just getting all the you know, the systems set to go on that.
Wonderful. And so the website, as that evolves, and of course we're here in the end of June 2010, where would folks go? Is it your drshoshana.com? Or
no, the better one is to go to becomefearless.org, and you can write to me directly. Let me have your email address so I'll make sure you hear of what's happening. And my email is topspeaker@yahoo.com.
Terrific.
So just send me an email and I'll put you on the list and I'll subscribe you and I'll keep you informed of all the new things that are coming up.
Fantastic to spend time with you. I'm sure we'll do it again. Dr. Brenda Shoshana has been our guest. The Enlightened Living Institute is the universe she runs in and works in. And what a delight to have you. And a very different kind of segment for Small Biz America, which I'd like to do more of. So,
Thank you. It's been great to be here, too. And let me just say to Small Biz America, the more you breathe, the more you release, the more you feel at ease, the more wonderful things will come to you.
Thank you, Dr. Brenda Shoshana. We'll do it again. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you, David.
Small Biz America.
The brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.